Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to his name. The topic of tonight's program is laboring to be accepted. We're going to be looking at the pitfalls, the downfalls of what happens when we try to earn God's favor on our own, when we don't depend upon the grace of God to be the one to strengthen us and help us. So we invite you to open up your Bibles as we look into these verses. Remember, you can also write to us at our email, redemptionandpower@gmail.com. You can also visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can also have access to our live feed, where you can either listen to our live program that we have every Wednesday night as we do our Bible studies, and you can also listen to all of our podcasts, all of our recordings that we do every Sunday evening. We make them available on our website, as well as you can download them from iTunes, where you can have access to it via your iPhone, your Android phone, or just listen to it on your computer. Also, a little later, we'll be opening up the phone lines in case you're in need of prayer. The number to the station is 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done in our lives, Lord, and through our lives. And Father, we want to pray for your people today, Lord, to understand the meaning of this message, that we are not to labor to be accepted, because we have already been accepted by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. wisdom in the secret heart. Send me the chief of sinners to pray. Come be forgiven, the sin the Lamb of God will slay. Open my lips and my mouth with declaring this prayer. And teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Create in me a clean heart, oh Lord. Renew a right spirit within me, oh God. Oh. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your hold. Wisdom in the secret heart. The Lord is gracious and slow to anger, rich in love, He is good to all. The Lord is gracious and slow to anger, rich in love, He is good to all. The Lord is gracious and slow to anger, rich in love, He is good to all. The Lord is gracious.
Do you feel left out? This is something that happens to many of us. For example, for those of us who are born into a large family, we are told that we are loved equally by our parents. However, there is always one child who they tend to favor more than the other. Perhaps because he or she did well in school or has advanced in society, or simply because they have never caused any problems. They are talked about in family gatherings, and the other children are compared to the favored child. This also happens in schools, with teachers who favor certain students, or at work with bosses who favor certain employees. There is a tendency to favor the one that stands out or outperforms the other. This can lead to a feeling of rejection or a feeling of being left out. So we fill that void by trying to please others in order to gain their acceptance. The problem with this way of thinking is that we wear ourselves out. What happens if we can't give any more? We are not put on this earth to gain approval of men, but of God. Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. One of the biggest problems we have in our society today is that we want to be known and accepted by others. When we feel or think that we are not, we become depressed and withdrawn. This happens even with our own group of friends. This brings into remembrance a friend I knew when I was in my teens. He was a wonderful person, but felt left out. Perhaps because he was a quiet guy, but in reality, we all cared about him. Since he was a Christian, he held different moral views and principles than the rest of us had. We were involved with drinking, going to clubs, and other worldly things at that time. And none of us understood why he was different. I remember that during the time that I hung out with him, I was filled with joy and a sense of peace, and often wondered why. However, he felt rejected by the rest of the group, and he tried to fill this emptiness by working out to improve his physical appearance. He also bought a new car to gain popularity, which attracted some people, but this was only to use him. Now that I think back, he was always looking to be accepted by us. The irony of it is that he was already accepted by God. And if anyone should have wanted acceptance, it should have been us from him. When I think of this, it makes me sad. There are many good people who know Christ who are trying to make people like them or accept them. They should take comfort in knowing that someone greater than man loves and has accepted them. As for this young man, I moved away from that neighborhood. And years later, I found out he took his life. Romans 15, 1 through 3. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Friends, many people today feel left out and rejected, perhaps because of their stature, their looks, or because someone in their family is favored over them. What really matters is not what people say, but what God says. You have been chosen to be a child of God. And there is no greater acceptance than that. Today, I think back at the life of this young man and think perhaps God brought him into my life so I could know Christ. We should not take anyone for granted or the relationships that God joins together. Each one of us has strength, and together we can edify each other and build up the body of Christ. Romans 15:7. Accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God.
Amen. Glory to God. If you've ever worked for a big corporation, a bank, or a chain retail store, perhaps you've had some exposure to performance metrics. Every once in a while, you would have a big shot, a manager, come in. He has no idea about the working conditions. He's never sat down to observe your store, yet he claims to know what you're doing wrong because he's able to look at some graphs and charts. In fact, there is a phrase used in the corporate world to define its performance-driven system, and perhaps you've heard it, it's all about the numbers. This phrase or philosophy has also crept into churches and into the minds of Christians. We now measure success by the size of a church, rather than the quality and the spiritual growth of the people that are in it. We measure the spiritual growth and blessing in a Christian by the material gain rather than the fruits of the Holy Spirit in their lives. It is true that mainstream Christianity in the U.S. has become driven by numbers instead of driven by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about who has the biggest church, who has the biggest building, who has the greatest influence, who has the greatest numbers of members. And unfortunately, the role of the church is not to get as many converts as possible. It is to make disciples. Look at what the Apostle Paul says to the church in Galatians. In Galatians 4:19, he says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." He says, "I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Paul's desire and goal was to see Christ formed in the life of those whom he ministered to. It was not simply just to get people to make an outward confession, but to truly disciple them in the Word of God so that they would mature in the faith. And this is not something that happens from one day to another. It takes time. It requires patience, and sometimes even enduring suffering. He uses the expression of birth pains to show the seriousness of the matter. This performance-driven mentality has significant impact in our spiritual walk. Firstly, it affects our relationship with God. A person who is performance-driven will be unstable. See, one of the popular teachings out there today is that Christians should not suffer. However, we read many times in the Bible about men and women who suffered greatly with a greater purpose. We look at Joseph, how he was betrayed by his brother, sold into slavery, falsely accused, and forgotten in prison until God would raise him up to be the second ruler of Egypt, second to the ruler of Egypt. We read about David, who, while being anointed as the next king of Israel, was hiding in caves and being persecuted by Saul. We read about Job, who suffered the loss of his family and health at the hands of Satan. And though it was restored at the end, we are able to see how this experience granted him a greater revelation of God. And we see that the point is that revelation is in fact the basis of intimacy. A relationship without revelation goes nowhere. A husband and wife that do not open their hearts to one another will never truly experience the beauty of marriage. There's things that my wife knows about me that no other person knows. And there's things that I know about her that no one else knows. And this intimacy adds value to our relationship. We invest into each other and we sacrifice for one another. And we see that marriage is an illustration that God has chosen to illustrate the deep truth of our relationship with Him. And likewise, the marriage relationship is a very similar to the relationship we are to have with Christ. He has given to us His Word so that we may know His heart and character. And we are to submit and surrender ourselves to Him. He calls us into intimacy. But a person who is driven by performance is not interested in intimacy or has not known it. A person who bases their spiritual status on their feelings and circumstances will always be unstable because he is not exercising faith in what God has said. James 1:8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." If our love for God depends on our circumstances, then we will live life fluctuating in our faith. There will be times in our lives when we will feel fruitless, when we feel like everything in our life is spinning around. But often God allows this to happen for the purpose of our growth and His glory. Jesus says in John 15:1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Jesus says the branch that bears fruit will be purged by the Father. The purpose of purging is to remove the dead areas of your life that are keeping you from bearing more fruit. It is to clean us. Another word that is used in another translation is to prune, which in fact is a gardening term, and it means to cut. God will cut things off of our lives that are dead, useless, and keep us from bearing more fruit. I was reading an article about tending grapevines, and a gardener shares in that article what is the purpose of pruning plants, specifically a grapevine. He says, the purpose of pruning is to obtain maximum yields of high-quality grapes and to allow adequate vegetative growth for the following season. See, when God works in us, He's not working just for the now, but He is preparing us for the next season, for the next place and where He's going to take us. And if our lives are the way we perceive our standard, our standing before God is our circumstances, then we will never be able to fully experience God's love, because we're not trusting what His word says. A person who bases their spiritual condition on their performance is also not looking at Christ. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice that the writer of Hebrews exhorts us to cease from living in sin. Sin which, he says, so easily besets us, so easily surrounds us. It is everywhere. We are commanded to cut off sin from our lives. Yet we see that the writer does not finish there. Verse 2 is still connected to the exhortation in verse 1. And how does he start verse 2? He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We will not have victory in the Christian walk if we don't have our eyes upon Jesus. Without Jesus, we are powerless over sin. The Bible tells us that Jesus didn't just come to save us from hell. He didn't just come to save us from the wrath of God. But look at what the angel says to Joseph in Matthew 1:21. He says, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He not only comes to save us from the penalty of sin, but from sin itself, from the power that sin had over our lives. Because sin will destroy our lives. And not just the obvious ones like adultery, lying, and murder, but especially pride and selfishness, which are the root of every sin. But only Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is able to uproot this sin from our hearts. We see that the writer of Hebrews doesn't just say to keep your eyes on Jesus, but in the same verse he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was not just looking at the cross, but his motivation was the joy that was to come after. And the writer of Hebrews encourages us through the gospel, because the gospel is not just a message of salvation, but it is also a message of encouragement for the Christian to continue to carry that cross and to not just look at their present circumstance, to not look at their feelings at the moment, but to look at what is to come. Brothers and sisters, this world is not all that there is. There is something that God has for us that does not compare to the sufferings of this world. And the challenge for us is to keep in our minds and in our hearts eternity. And that eternity awaits us, an eternity with Christ. and with God the Father, and that we will be held accountable for the actions that we do in this life. When we look at the life of a person that is laboring to be accepted, it's the resting in the grace of God. We see that these individuals that are performance driven also have a greater tendency to be deceived. We see that in this day and age, many people are flocking to false apostles and prophets. And the reason they're doing that, many of them, is because they feel that right standing with God equals supernatural experiences. But the Bible says in Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Yet you have people today that go to prophets like the world goes to tarot readers. Well, we are called to live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Many people fall into the scams of these so-called apostles and prophets either because they have not read or have simply or simply don't believe that we as believers through the blood of Jesus Christ have access through the throne of God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Every believer has access to God through Jesus. You can go to the throne of God right now, this instant, if you place your trust in Jesus Christ. But if there's a man who claims to have some special access to God that you don't have, that man is a liar and a blasphemer, because Christ is the only mediator between God and man. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." God is not going to give you a miracle just because you give him the church a certain amount of money. God cannot be bought. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we read about Naaman, a man who was a leper, that God heals. And after being healed, he offers money to Elisha, yet we see that Elisha would not take it, because the miracles of God cannot be bought. In Acts 18, we read about Simon, a man who thought that he can purchase the ability to lay hands and bestow the Holy Ghost at his will. Yet the Apostle Peter tells him in Acts chapter 8, verse 20, he says, "And Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God.'" God's grace and favor is not for sale. You don't have to live your life seeking for a word. You have in the Bible 66 books with plenty of word. If God needs to tell us something, he will tell us. It's one thing to seek out counseling. It's another to depend on someone else to tell us how to live our lives. God has sent his Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us. And if he needs to communicate something to us, he will get it to our attention. A person who's laboring to be accepted, as Brother Lewis had mentioned before, is seeking approval of man, who will become dependent on others being pleased with him because he bases his condition, his spiritual condition, on how others receive him, to the point that he cares more about how others perceive him rather than what God says we ought to be. And this person's basis of their identity, of his or her identity, is on other people's opinions instead of basing his or her identity in Christ. Brother Lewis had read Galatians 1:10, where Paul says, that if we look to please men, we don't please God. We cannot please men and please God at the same time. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Our identity does not come from others, from those that are around us. It does not come from the opinions of others. It comes from God and what He has declared over us. The scripture says in 1 Peter 2:9, He says, but ye are a chosen generation. We have been chosen by God. He says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Listen to me, brother and sister. You cannot earn God's favor. You cannot buy God's favor. You cannot earn it with your actions. It would not come from others. It comes when you place your trust, your faith upon Christ Jesus and what He did for us at the cross. When He took your sin and my sin, when He took the penalty that belonged to you and me. And this is not something that some apostle can give to you. This is not something that you can buy. This is not something that you can earn. God's grace is freely given to those who come before Him with humble hearts. Those who know they are weak and are in terrible need of God's grace and His intervention. God is pleased in a humble heart. Psalm 51:16 says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. What God wants us to do is come before Him with humble hearts, knowing that we cannot do a thing without Him. We cannot even breathe without His power. We must humble ourselves and come before Him, come before the throne of grace, and know that our acceptance is based on what Christ did on the cross of Calvary.
Amen. I think that one of the things that need to happen is that we need to be happy and content with who we are and not worry about what other people think about us. And I just want to share a scripture here in Genesis chapter 4, where it talks about Cain and Abel. And it says, now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions, from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And I think that's the key. Not based ourselves of what people say, but just keep doing what is right. Like that young man that I spoke about. He didn't think that he made a big impact on our lives, but most probably because of his life, the way that he was able to abstain from all the bad things that we did. Somehow, it opened a door for me to know about Christ. Because I wondered many times, what was it that he had that I was missing?
Pray for your own.
us known. Our great high priest now at the throne. We long to pray, but we don't know how. We yearn to stay, but lack the power. Our wills are weak, just now, right to your side. Our great high priest, now at the throne. You ever live to pray for your own. And to the Father, you make us known. Our great high priest now at the throne. For us you came to this low plain. For us you lived joy and pain. For us you died to set us free. And rose on high to bear our plea. Our great high priest, now at the throne. You ever live to pray for your own. And to the Father, you make us known.
Father God, we come before you in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father. And we ask you, Lord, that your grace, Lord, may be poured out upon us tonight. That, Father, that your Holy Spirit, as has been said in your word, Father, would shut the mouth, Father, of the accuser of the brethren, of the enemy, Father, that accuses us with our past, that accuses us, Lord, and reminds us of the things that we used to do before. We pray, Father, that we may hold fast to your promises. That those, Father, that are listening tonight, that are struggling in their faith because they're not sure of their standing before you, that tonight, Father, you may strengthen their hearts in faith through the hearing of your word that says that there's now no condemnation to your people, to those whom Christ has redeemed, to those who have placed their faith upon Jesus, that tonight their hearts may rest in Jesus Christ, and that his words, when he said, it is finished, it has been finished, and we don't have to finish it. It's been done for us. And all we have to do is walk in faith, is work out the salvation that you have given us, that you have created in us a new creature, a new creation, and that creation may shine forth in our lives. And that old aspects of who we used to be, you may cut it off, Father, and that you may renew our minds and bring transformation to our lives therewith, Lord. Thank you, Father, because you are faithful. And we know that you're ministering to your people tonight. We pray for those that are in hospital beds. We pray that you have mercy over their lives. That you, Father, may visit them where they are at. And that, Lord, you may restore them and you may make them whole. Father, we pray for those that hear us, Lord, from a jail cell. For those whom the enemy attacks with regret and have a desire, Lord, for a second chance. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you may minister to those souls tonight. That they may be encouraged and strengthened and know that your grace, Lord, is not hindered by a jail cell, by metal bars. For your grace knows no bounds. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that tonight you may pour it abundantly over our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I would like to take the opportunity today. First, I want to pray for our brother Eddie, that he finds himself in the hospital right now in a coma. Father God, right now, I unite with my brother Javer and also with your listeners, Father. And we all become one in prayer, Father. For our brother Eddie, which he finds himself in a coma, Lord. And Father, we know throughout the scriptures that there were many people, some of which were not mentioned, that you've encountered with the same or more critical situation. But we know that with the power of your kingdom and with the authority that we have in Christ Jesus, we could speak over that sickness and we could command that sickness to leave in Jesus' name. So right now, Father, I declare that power, that resurrection power that raised Lazarus from the dead, that power that raised Jesus from the cross. And I speak that power over our brother Eddie. And I command him to raise from that bed right now in Jesus' name. Father, I also want to pray for our sister Ida Guzman. Right now she finds herself in a hospital with pain and suffering. Father, we don't know the reason or the cause of her pain and suffering. But we do know that you are our healer. And now in the name of Jesus, I pray over her and I command every single bit of pain to leave her body right now. I ask you to restore every organ in her body. Father, make her whole in Jesus' name. And finally, I want to pray for our brother Mike. Lord God, I do not know what this man is dealing with. But you know, and tonight we unite for him, Father, for everything that has him oppressed and depressed, to free him right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that the Holy Spirit will invade the area which he stands right now. And I command freedom over his body in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, we also pray this evening for, Lord, for Fernando Correa. Father, we ask right now that, Lord, you will be touching him, Lord, with your miraculous healing over his life, Father. We ask, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, you would be invading his body. Father, we speak against any demonic principalities and powers, Lord, that may have been bringing this sickness upon him, Lord, these headaches, Lord, any curse that may have been pronounced over him, right now be loosed and broken in the name of Jesus by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask right now that you would liberate him, Father, from this affliction in the name of Jesus, and that he may know the amazing grace and power of your love and of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know that you listen to our prayers, Father, and that, Lord, you will work on our behalf. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. We thank you for listening tonight. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, RadioRedemptionAndPower.com. May the Lord bless you.
Every day, the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon, the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, Many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.